When we emphasize each of these four elements, it can help us to push out anxiety. Remember the text we looked at in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing. God is giving a command there that we have a responsibility as Christians to get a hold of, a handle of, anxiety, and He is showing us from this passage how that we can get a handle of that. Let's look at the word adoration. In Luke chapter 11, I'm not sure what all took place just before this event, but the disciples undoubtedly were walking along with Jesus, and they've been thinking about things. And one of the beautiful things about their relationship with Jesus, as they spent the nearly 3 years with Him, as they wandered around listening to Him teach, is they had the opportunity to talk to Him after He had spoken to the crowds and the multitudes, and they had this kind of like one-on-one discipleship type stuff took place all the time. And the value of small groups. And just out of the blue, one of them asked, because Jesus, would you teach us to pray? Just like John taught his disciples, that we might know how to pray. How do we address this Father? Undoubtedly, they observed His life, and they knew from His pattern that He would get up early in the morning and go off to by Himself and spend time in prayer. Now, it's interesting. If you look through the pattern that He gives to you, you will recognize that obviously this is not the prayer that Jesus spent hours praying, because you can pray through this prayer in about a few seconds, basically. Our Father which in heaven, hallowed be Your name, etc. And you go through that. It's not a prayer that God has put together that we have a magical prayer put through, but I think it's a pattern to give us an idea of what types of elements need to be a part of that prayer. And one of the first things He says to them, He says, when you pray, He said to them, when you pray, say this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Now, a lot of us want to get into the good stuff, like talking about, God, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that. I got all these things that are up against me. Jesus says the best place to start is in the realm of adoration. To talk about Him, His name, the great I am, Elohim, Jehovah. And talking about all these special things of His adoration. As you look at this, as it kind of spills out of the block and you think about these things that we can pray about how that He's perfect and how that He's holy and He's powerful and He's just and He's loving and He's smart and He's kind. And the more that you think and know about God and the more you adore Him in these realms, that you start getting a picture of how great and awesome He is. And that's incredibly important in this day and age because so much is brought down to the common level. So much of what we want to do in our life, we just want to make everything kind of down here. Down to where we can reach it, where we can see it, where it's just right there. But God wants to remain where He is. He is the potentate. He is the all-powerful one. He is God. And when He talks about our relationship with Him, He talks about taking our affections or our attention and bringing them up. Not expecting Him to come down and mingle around all our anxieties. He anticipates that we take our heart, our intentions, our attention, our focus, and bring it upwards. So that in a sense, if all these things that incorporate our anxieties that are right before us, and that's the way they tend to be, they wall us around, right? And it seems like we can't see anything because they're all around us everywhere we go. When we take the opportunity to realize that where we need to look is not at the areas of anxiety, but we need to look up. We need to look up to where God is, and the best way to do that is look at who He is. In adoration, how does it make a difference knowing God is a holy God or God is a just God? That things will come into my life and they will not come into my life unfairly. One of our favorite terms in dealing with trials and anxiety in life is this phrase, it's not what? Fair. We have this way of thinking that things ought to be a certain way and we develop our own theology of life that says this ought to go this way, this way, and this way, and this way. And when it doesn't, it's not fair. But when we look at God as being a just God, He doesn't do things that are unfair. When we look at God as being a smart God, God knows all things. So when my trials and my difficulties and all these things come into play, I can count on a God who understands me. Do you sometimes long for someone who understands you? Someone who just understands where you're coming from? Just wishing that spouse would understand, or that parent would understand, or that child would understand, or that pastor would understand, that someone would understand you? God is capable of doing that. He even understands you when you don't understand you. He knows all things, and He is capable of bringing things about. So He knows what types of things we need. He knows how to work through the things that come into our life. And He knows when tragedy comes into our life, what we need to help us overcome that tragedy, and how that we can take that tragedy and make it into something good. It was Joseph who said, "You meant it for evil," when he's talking to his brothers who sold him into slavery. He said, "But God meant it for good." God was able to take the evil workings of some brothers who were jealous and envious and just downright wicked and use it for good, to the saving to multitudes in Egypt. God has a way of doing that for us too. He is smart. He is loving. Not only does He know what we need, He cares enough to give us what we need. All things work together for good for those who love God. That is His desire, to love us as He is loved. And He's all-powerful to fulfill that which He desires. He's perfect. He's kind. All these types of things. So when you take the time to go to prayer and you've got the anxieties all around you, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer or adoration, if you want to start out that way, by adoring Him and thinking about who He is, you'll have something that's more like this. Instead of focusing on all these things, next slide please. Instead of focusing on all these things here, the finances and health and the reputation and relationships and things and death, instead of making our focus on that, we put an X through that, and we set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And we change the emphasis then to focus upon God. So that when we go to our prayer life, instead of praying about all the wicked, evil, bad, unjust things that are going on in my life, and God, would You just get rid of them, we come from a different perspective. We come from the perspective of coming to God and said, God, You, regardless of what my circumstances are, holy, just, good, perfect, powerful, wise. And the list goes on. Because He never changes, regardless of our circumstances. Do we change within our circumstances? Certainly we do. We change immensely. Things are going great. Woohoo! God's a good guy. Things are going bad. I don't want to talk about it. We have ways in which circumstances impact our lives, but God never changes. He is the same God, regardless of what is going on over here. He remains the same. So where's the best place to focus? On the stability. On that which gives us hope, and that which helps us go on. So our prayers need to be focused at who He is. And as we start running things through Him, these other things will start looking a little bit different. When we start running to Him through these, He starts looking different. You don't want God to be looking like the God of anxiety and the God of disorder and disunity. You want to see God for who He is. And then when you see that, He'll give you glasses to see all these things for what they really are. So the first thing, that when we go to prayer, it's not an issue of just saying, God, I've got problems. You got answers. Give them to me. It's coming to God and saying, God, I'm Your child, and I adore You, and I love You, and I just think You're greatest. And go on and on and on, and the more you focus on that, these things will become smaller and smaller and smaller as He becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you can move on to this next letter. Anxiety many times is associated with some things that we need to start turning to God in confession. Matthew chapter 6 talks about the importance of not worrying. It says, therefore, do not worry. That's a command. Don't worry. When God tells you don't do something, you shouldn't do it. So when you do it, you have disobeyed. What shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. Not only do we disobey God when we worry, but we also act like unbelievers. That's what the word Gentile means there in that context. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You're also acting as if you don't have a Father that loves you. And all these things, despite how sincere we are, despite how hurt we are still offensive to a holy God who loves us so much. A heavenly Father that has communicated us over and over again that every perfect and good gift comes from the Father above, and I'm willing to give that to you if you just don't be double-minded, that you would just focus yourself on me and seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And when we fail to do that, that should bring us to a realization that there's something that we need to confess. When we come to God in anxiety and we've adored Him, and we come to the place of confession, one of the things we confess is our unbelief. And that we can just take the time to say, God, please forgive me for not believing in You. Please forgive me for not seeing Your work in this life. Please forgive me for being double-minded, trying to think of how I can work things out in my own strength and how I can work out things out with You. For actually thinking I'm going to manipulate You to be my provider over and above what Your will is for my life. Forgive me for being ungrateful. Forgive me for focusing on all the things that have been going wrong and not thinking about all the wonderful things You've given to me. Forgive me for not taking the time to thank You for this and this and this. Forgive me for that poor testimony that I've had. That when I should have been strong and I should have been capable of standing when times of trial came in front of those who needed to see me depend upon You, God, forgive me for not doing that. Forgive me for having wrong goals. Forgive me for thinking it's all about me. Forgive me for realizing that, not realizing that everything is revolved around Your plan and that I need to fit into Your plan, and that those trials that come into my life are designed to work in my life in a certain way, and that they can be developed so that I can accomplish certain things. We become so introspective when things happen. We think that everything that happens to be in the same vicinity of us, it has to be against us. When in reality, it could be for someone else. And we just happen to be a part of the plan and how God would bring it together. There are times when we might be experiencing some hardship, and the reason God has that come through is because He's got a goal of using our testimony. And I got to tell you, I have been so encouraged, challenged, and taught by people I have observed who have gone through trials and watched how they had gone through it with a resolve that God is good and God provides. And as a result, I look at that and I say, God is great. God is wonderful. Look how He has taken care of His servant. I wasn't even involved with the whole plan. But yet I believe God used that individual for my good and for my benefit. And I think He does the same thing for you, and sometimes uses you and myself for the benefit of others as well. But recognizing that we've got the goals wrong and be willing to confess that. A part of prayer is recognizing that we fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of His mark. And that shouldn't surprise any of us. God says if we say we're without sin, we're liars. Folks, we sin regularly. There's nothing wrong with coming to God and saying, I have failed and I have sinned and I fall short of Your mark, and being able to name that. All that means is you are actually pretty capable of observing your own life. If it's more helpful, have somebody else list all your sins for you and you just read them to God. Because it's obvious we are sinners. And we should be able to come to Him in confession and say, God, please forgive me for these various things. And sometimes it's our sin that has brought us into this situation of anxiety. And as the Bible says, we will reap what we sow. And we need to seek God's forgiveness for those things that we have done as well. And God's purpose for confession is not so that we'll feel bad, but so that we'll be obedient. It's not so that He can put a thumb on us and say, yeah, repent, confess, say uncle. It's nothing like that. He just knows we need that obedience of confessing our sin before Him to open up the channels, be able to relate to Him. He is our God. He has provided for us. For when we complain, when we whine, when we gripe, we say, God, you're not doing your job right. Thanksgiving goes right along with that. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. The emphasis of thanksgiving. Think about the different things that we can do with thanksgiving. First of all, we can thank God on these notes of thanks that we can grow to be like Christ. We know the Bible tells us that trials come into our life with the purpose of helping us to develop patience. The Bible says that that patience will help us develop character. Another portion of Scripture says the reason that God allows things come into our life is so that we can become more like Jesus Christ. So folks, even in the times of trial, and again, this is not an encouragement that we might sit there and say, wow, I'm glad for all these trials in my life. They're really neat. You know, it's really not so bad not having any money or being real sick or having all these fights with people and all that stuff. That isn't what God's saying thanks for. That isn't what He's saying. Don't be totally oblivious to how the situation is and just have that power of positive thinking. God's saying recognize it for what it can do, like Joseph did. Recognizing that it's something that can help us become more like Jesus Christ. The pressures of life can indeed develop us to become something. Just like the pressures on a piece of coal can develop a wonderful diamond, the pressures in our life can help us become more of a jewel for God. And that we can thank God for that. And even though we have this opportunity, we can a trial, we can become more like Christ through. I was sharing with our Monday night group. And I was just getting frustrated because I kept on, when I was working on these projects, hurting my hands. I hate hurting my hands because my hands don't have a whole lot of calluses, and they're preacher hands, okay? You know, they're people who sit at a desk. The most I get is calluses from, you know, the keys that I hit on and stuff. So when I jab it or something like that, I really don't like it. And I was getting to the point where I was getting so upset. Because why am I hitting my hands? Why can't I hit something else? And I didn't really want to do that, but why do I have to do that? And I remember saying to them, I needed to come up with a plan. What do I do the next time I hurt my hands? And it was interesting. God gave me an answer, because one of the times I'd hurt my hand, I just, for some reason, got a blister in the middle of my hand. Weirdest place for a blister. I was trying to screw down a screw real tight, and instead of gripping the screwdriver right, was putting the pressure and just ripped the skin right off. So I left a nice little hole-looking thing right in my hand. And one day as I was looking at it, I go, you know what? That reminds me of the scar in Jesus' hand. And that was really cool. I didn't like it when I got it. But you know, if I can focus on how that each time I hurt my hands, it reminds me of all that Jesus went through on my behalf, it'll keep me from focusing on my silly little dainty hands. And it's amazing. For a while there, God didn't give me a chance to test it out. But He was true. He waited for a little while, and then finally, after a point where I might have forgotten about it, He gives me a chance, while I'm trying to unscrew something, to take a screwdriver and jam it into the other hand. And to be able to say, praise the Lord. You were there, Bob, when it happened. Yeah? Praise the Lord. I got one on both sides now. Okay. And to think about these type of things. Now, you might be able to do it with other areas of your life, but the point is focusing and thanking God for things. Thanking Him for an opportunity to help others. The book of Corinthians tells us that the trials that we have or the hardships we have many times help us to be able to comfort others that are going through trials. When we go through things that when we look at it, we say, that's a hardship in my life. But Jesus pulled me through it. God can use us to help other people to be able to accomplish that. And I don't know if you've used that or not, and I encourage you to, is to thank God for the privilege of going through something and seeing God carry you through it and be able to share that with somebody else and help them through it. That's one of the things God has called us to do. That's what He's called, bearing one another's burdens, loving one another, encouraging one another, lifting one another up, is that God allows us to experience His grace and His mercy so that we can have a chance to share with others. So when we go through a hardship, a difficulty, things that kind of turn our lives upside down, and God brings us out of that storm, we can come up to a fellow brother and sister and say, I know what it's like. God has helped me. I'll pray for you. Probably the less said, the better, but you can pray for them, and you can pray for them in earnest and be a good listener because you know the pain. You know the hardship, but you know the grace that goes along with it. And it's not a group therapy. It is a process where God uses His grace to help encourage others to understand His grace, and it continues the process on. So you can thank God for that. Third thing, you can thank God for using Him as part of your goals, part of His goals. That He has a goal for life, and when He brings these anxieties and difficulties, He can help us be part of what He's doing. And then fourthly, just the most obvious thing of just learning how to be thankful for the things that we already have. Being content. The Apostle Paul says that later on in Philippians, and if we were to read through, he says, in whatever state I am, it's not talking about Iowa or Nebraska or anything like that, whatever condition I might be in, I've learned to be content. I've learned how to deal with it when I've got a lot of stuff, and I've learned how to deal when I don't have much of anything. Because it's not based upon my circumstance, it's based upon my relationship with God. And that doesn't need to change. Because God never changes, and He wants us to keep in that relationship. The fourth word that we look at is that of supplication. This is the place we usually start. Supplication just simply means begging. It's kind of that idea of, God, if you get me out of this mess, I'll never bother you again. Let's make a deal, God. Whatever it might be, we've got some plans of getting Him involved in our life, and we start right here. But if you look at the process, if we can get involved with adoring Him, confessing before Him, thanking Him, and then coming to Him with supplications, you'll see the process has taken place in your heart to where those things that you're asking for are coming from a totally different perspective than what they would have if you failed to do that. In the supplication, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, that we might share with Him what those things are. Jesus says it in His pattern for prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And so when you think of what comes out of the supplication, you just think of these various loaves of bread, if you would. And you can take and draw a little bread, and you can write on there, what is my request before God? Do you give specific requests to God or just basic generalities? You're just saying, God bless me, God help me mature, things like that. You're not going to know when He's answered. But when you start asking specifically, God, I am having difficulty with my temper, and I have responded improperly to this person, this person, and this person. God, give me the grace to go back to them and work that thing out with them, and that I might learn to use my tongue in a way that builds up other people than tears them down. And then you start seeing that happen in your life, and you'll see, that's my daily bread. God is actually answering my prayers in regard to how my heart and my actions are. When I start praying about specific things that need to change in my life, even praying, God, our financial situation might be in a difficult situation, and we're concerned about that. We would love for you to just drop a bunch of money in our laps. But maybe you're going to use this to help us learn something special about you from it. And being able to ask specifically and be able to see, you know, God, we need this taken care of. And I don't know if you've ever done this before, but it's one of the most exciting things to see God answer a specific prayer and see money's come in for something or something take place. It's just an exciting thing to be able to experience that and know that you don't have the means within yourself, but God somehow has taken care of it, and it is an exciting thing. James 4:2-3 says, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. May we not be caught up in using our requests just so we can have more stuff. Just so we can have life more easy. Just so that we can be able to be more important before other people. Just so that we can be successful in the lives of other people. You know, those type of things, sometimes the answers don't come because they're asked amiss. So we might spend it on ourselves. God wants to use each one of us so that we can be His vessel to spread His truth, His gospel, His help, His encouragement to other individuals. But when we want to bottleneck it, and we want to keep it all to ourselves, and we want to act like the Dead Sea, and just keep it in here, and not have any outlet, those things will dry up on us, and we'll become stagnant. God desires for us to have, so that we can have to give. And may we recognize in our supplication that our anxieties that we have, that we can actually have victories over these through our prayer life. Because it's not just an issue of saying, God, take these anxieties away. God, take these trials away. God, help me to get rid of these things. It's recognizing how that God uses things in our life. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. All these things are really only possible when you know that you have direct access to God. The Bible says that we can come boldly before Him because of what Jesus Christ has done. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He becomes the only mediator between God and man. I am not a mediator for you. There is no individual on this earth, there's no saint up above that's a mediator for you between you and God. There's only one person you can pray to, the Father above, in the authority of the Son, with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. You pray to God with the help of the Godhead, and He has given you this opportunity to adore Him, to confess to Him, to thank Him, and to beg of Him, to supplicate Him. And I encourage you to be active in this process. But I encourage you, first of all, to make a decision for Jesus Christ so that you can have that access to God, so that you can have this answer for anxiety. Father, I thank You again for the privilege of being able to share Your Word with dear friends that are here. Lord, I think of the times when I get my mind off You and start focusing on the things and cares of this world and how empty that is. As one of Your writers call it, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And Father, possibly I have some friends here today that wrestle with the same issue at times, to where they get their focus off You and their focus is on the trials and the hardships that surround them. Lord, help them when they go to prayer to see how big You are. Help them when they go to prayer that they might see how that their anxieties and lack of faith throw up a wedge between You and them, a wall between You and them, and that they might confess that. Father, I pray You'll help them to learn to be thankful and make lists of things that You have done and things that You have provided, and that they might rejoice on those things. And Father, I pray that as they make their lists of supplications, they might do so with understanding that You are a God who will not give them a stone if they ask for bread. You will not give them a serpent if they want a fish. But You are a God that will provide for them as a loving Father, giving them what they need, not necessarily always what they want. And Father, I pray that we as a church, and we look at our prayer for the furtherance of the gospel through this ministry, the continuing of the various things that You've laid before us, that we too might do so with great faith, understanding You are God who provides, not that we might spend it on ourselves, but that we might accomplish Your will. And we pray in Jesus' precious name, amen.